Welcome to another episode on the Home Tech Talk podcast. My name is Jake.
And my name is Aiden.
On this episode, we caught up with Sean Fletcher, who is the marketing manager of TP-Link Australia.
Yeah, in this episode, we had the privilege of learning about all the latest wireless technology and some of the new products that TP-Link have got coming into both the IoT networking space and the small, medium business networking space.
Yeah, so if you are liking our content, feel free to like and subscribe to keep up to date. Sean, welcome to Home Tech Talk.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Yeah, no problems. Did you want to give us a bit of an intro into yourself and the industry and how you got to where you are now at TP-Link?
Yeah, sure. Would love to. So I started my career in the media side of things, namely in tech media. So working for PC Powerplay, Hyper and those kind of magazines. Did quite a bit of time in there, and I've always really loved my technology and gaming and things like that. So very, very interested in that side of things. TP-Link were a client of mine, so I've known the guys here for quite some time. The brand's changed a lot. They were very different kind of 6 or 7 years ago when I was kind of calling on them and selling them ads and things like that. Got to know the country manager really well, and just over a few kind of years and many conversations, he'd convinced me to come on board here to look after the marketing. So, came on board and learnt quickly about kind of TP-Link and the heritage. And in the 5 years that I've been here, the growth and the kind of products that have changed and things like that, it's been an exciting 5 years. We've seen a lot happen in the world of networking. Now's a really exciting time with Wi-Fi 6E coming in and some other new technologies. So we've got that new wave of kind of smart home products and also networking products that'll be coming in the back half of this year. So yeah, it's an exciting time for us.
Yeah, nice. So if you wanted to dive in a bit deeper into the overview, I guess, of what TP-Link offer,
yeah.
I mean, you guys, we've got some examples here today. So if you wanted to give us a bit of a background on the overview of what you guys have.
Yeah, definitely. So the big one for us at the moment is our mesh Wi-Fi. That's where we're seeing a lot of growth. So for most people in Australia, they have, with their Wi-Fi, they might have a couple of areas in the home where there's a dead zone, or they don't quite get that speed of service that they're paying for to every corner of the home. So a lot of people will go for mesh Wi-Fi to alleviate that and to get that really strong signal all around the home. So TP-Link is a networking brand. That's where our heritage is, and that's where we've kind of built up our knowledge. And I think naturally from networking and then seeing how smart home was growing, we made the decision as a business to get into that smart home side of things, just as a challenger and kind of come in with really high value products that work every time. And that's kind of that's why we've gotten into smart home. We had that networking heritage, so we thought, okay, we can take this and we can use what we've learned in networking to kind of show people what we've got in the smart home side of things.
Yeah, well, I guess it is all network based, so
yeah,
it makes perfect sense that a networking vendor would get into that IoT product. So you got security cameras, like lighting products. What is it in that IoT space that we've got access to with TP-Link?
Yeah, so all the security cameras, so the IP kind of cameras, then we've got the lighting. One of the other really popular products we see a lot of people start their smart home journey with is smart plugs. So that's just kind of a product that can make anything in the home smart. So a lot of people use them for Christmas lights and things like that, so they don't have to crawl under the tree and flick the switch. People use it for preheating and cooling the home. But later on, we're starting to get more into the kind of sensors and things like that. So sub-1G kind of technology. So the next lot of TAPO things that come out, there'll be cameras that are higher quality, so just better sensors than the ones that we currently have, but also getting into strip lighting and some other exciting things like that. It's a really big kind of industry, so we're still learning that and releasing new products every month. Yeah.
Cool. And then you also touch into, you probably primarily the heritage of TP-Link is in like the gaming networking type of space, or is that more of a recent transition? Or
so we, TP-Link, if you go back to kind of when we first came into Australia, that was about 11 years ago. And we were then known, we tried to come here as a value brand. So we were kind of looked at all the other vendors that had products, and the way that we kind of got some market share through the channel was to come in with really good quality products, but a little bit cheaper than the competition. Now, that's that has changed a little bit over the years, where we're less of a kind of value brand, and we've become much more of a kind of a challenger brand, and kind of working on new technology and trying to lead the industry a little bit. And we saw that with Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi 6E. We've got a lot of products in development that are more on the kind of premium, more on the premium end. So we've kind of got both sides of that business. We're still known for our value products, and we've still got a lot of that kind of everyday low price routers for families that are cost conscious. But we've also got the really premium stuff as well for people that are into their gaming and 8K streaming and really heavy internet usage.
Yep. There is a lot of that happening these days.
Definitely, yeah. We found a lot, the mesh Wi-Fi side of things, a lot of people when they had to work from home throughout the COVID period, and a lot of people kind of still are, they might have been okay with when there was one person working from home, but when there was multiple people working from home, their kids were also trying to learn from home, everyone in different rooms of the house all putting pressure on the router that they've been given from their ISP, that's when we saw a lot of people upgrade to mesh to get that better service.
Yeah. Do you think that led to the position we're in now with those, you know, supply sort of issues with just exploding demand and just taking all that product out of the market? Or is it just like it's a collective of all those things together?
I think probably a collective, yeah. Yeah. I think it's kind of a bit of column A and a bit of column B with all of that, because, yeah, the getting stock into the country now is it's the battle.
Yeah, we see that too. We've got the customers there that are willing to take up the installations and product sets, but yeah, we're just unable to service them with some of our common vendors that we normally use. So and then you do have also some of the SMB, like small medium business type products, and that you've launched a new SDN software platform to manage all that.
So that's the Amada system, and that's kind of why we see some opportunities there with the consumer side of things in retail and in the channel. We're kind of number one with a lot of our guys in there, so we're pretty happy with we'll keep the foot on the accelerator there, but we're pretty happy with the way that things are going there. But there are some real opportunities in that SMB side. So Amada, it's the software-defined networking platform that we have. So all cloud-managed, you can do multiple sites, great for kind of education side of things, the hotel industry, shopping centres, and down to kind of, it's scalable as well. So you can even have small businesses like cafes and things like that can benefit from using the Amada system.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Just touching back on gaming routers, I mean, what would make a gaming router separate or different from a usual router?
All right, so that's a great question. There's a few factors. There's a little bit more. So they've got a gaming kind of user interface. So as soon as you are using one of these things, it looks very different to the UI from one of our other routers. It's kind of black and red and very gaming focused. It's also got some. It's got a like things like VPNs and that kind of thing built in, which some of our other routers do. And I've always said with tech products that gaming a lot of the time, it just means premium. It just means that it's got all those features, it's fast. And the other thing with the gaming routers is you can dig into the settings quite a bit. So if you're someone that doesn't, if you really want to get into your network and kind of set the priority to the device that you're using, the gaming routers are very good for being able to tweak settings to do that. That's a smaller kind of percentage of people that are into that hardcore side of things, because most people, range is the problem, not so much speed. Most it's kind of range. But yeah, the gamers and people that do a lot of 8K streaming or those kind of heavy internet usage activities, they'll normally look at a gaming router as a solution.
And low latency is something that's of importance as well. So.
Yeah, low latency, definitely. And all with Wi-Fi 6 as well, that's even if you're looking at kind of a mesh system, a lot of people will have the mesh for the Wi-Fi around the home, but one of the units they could even have just hardwired into their PC. And so with Wi-Fi 6 dropping the latency by around 75% compared to the last generation, those two things working in conjunction can give people a pretty great experience with online gaming.
Yeah, and I mean, they look like another beast as well, so.
Yeah, we hit the brief for the, make it look like the aggressive kind of spaceship, something that can take down the Death Star, but that's the.
I think you've hit it there.
Yeah.
It's definitely
gamers do seem to like that styling, yeah.
I think we could fit another antenna maybe.
Not enough.
Could always get more. With the Wi-Fi 6E re-release, we'll see if we can stick another few antennas on that one.
Good move.
Yep.
I mean, I'm super interested in that small, medium business type product because it's sort of what I use. But I guess, is there any other like
I mean, we've talked about the meshing network. So some of the stuff is like dedicated backhaul. So you've got, you know, as much throughput as possible for any extender that happens to be further out in the mesh. So, yep, you know, not necessarily as close to the internet service as some of the further, you know, parts of the network. What other sort of function is it that the mesh system gives you, like really fast roaming?
So fast roaming. So the with it being seamless, it does the automatic handoff through the home. So we're having a bit of chat about this before we recorded, but if you're walking through on a video call or something like that, rather than try to cling on to that signal as you move further away, it'll just automatically hand you off to the next one. The other great thing with the Deco is we're seeing a lot of people get into smart home. And if you get smart home right, people won't often buy one smart home product and say, okay, I'm done with it now. They continue the smart home journey. They start to see whether they go down the Google or the Alexa path and what else they can add to it. The other great thing with the mesh is because you've got multiple around the home, you can connect. If you've got a lot of smart home products, so they all operate on that 2.4 gigahertz network, you've just got more headroom. And because it's the same network all around the home, you've got one network name. Yeah. So you don't have this kind of multiple extenders giving you different network names. So it makes for a really uncomplicated smart home. And that's, I think, what most people want is for that kind of thing to work. When you're showing off your smart home things to your friends, you don't want that to that to fail. It's a
I think it's good too if you have something that does Wi-Fi 6 or even anything in the 5 gigahertz band for your streaming devices like TVs or mobile devices and whatever, and then you have that IoT type smart home product sitting on the 2.4 gigahertz band. You don't have overlap, so you've got free space for those high-speed streaming devices, and then you've got durability of the 2.4 gigabit range and range within that space.
It helps with that congestion, with being able to share that across the devices. They've all got their own CPU, so they can all kind of handle that.
Okay. And that's another thing that the Wi-Fi 6E gives us, is a whole nother range to operate in.
Yeah, well, Wi-Fi 6E opens up the 6 gigahertz network, so that's really exciting. There's not a whole lot of products at this point in time that can take full advantage of that. It's only very recently that the ACMA in Australia has opened up that spectrum for public use. Previously, it was reserved, I think, for Weather Channel and Defence and things like that. But we can all now get a little piece of that. So we've got this is one of the first Wi-Fi 6E products that we're bringing in. It's a Deco. One of the Deco range. The other thing with Deco that is a little bit of a difference with TP-Link to some other networking vendors is you could put our latest 6E Deco. You could have it connected to another Deco. You could have something from a previous generation, so an old Wi-Fi 5 Deco. They're still going to work perfectly together. Right. They're all interoperable, so all Decos work together. And the only thing that kind of limits is if you've put one of a lower spec Deco, that obviously can't pick up from the higher spec. That'll top out at its specification. Mm. But it's a pretty cool thing for if people want to kind of move home and take their devices with them and things like that, especially if they move into a larger home and the Deco system doesn't quite give them the coverage anymore. They can just add any other Deco into the network and there goes the range problem is fixed really quickly.
Yeah. So the recommendation would be the highest speed product as close to the internet service as possible. And then if you're going to extend out with some of your older product, you go at the edge of the network.
That's right. Most people do buy the 3-pack as well. That's like we've got them in the 2-packs, but we find when you look at the amount that we sell, a lot of people that a 2-pack would probably do the home, but I think a lot of people will just go, look, I'll get the 3. A bit of overkill is probably better than still having a one little spot where we're not quite getting the Wi-Fi signal. Yeah.
And we've seen you started to test some of your new Wi-Fi are they Wi-Fi cameras or are they just PoE cameras?
Yeah, no, they're Wi-Fi cameras. So we've had a bit of a request for PoE stuff, even in kind of home things like PoE. You need when you're talking about enterprise stuff and offices and things like that. But even in the home, there's a bit of appetite for that now as well for people that want to run PoE. So the new cameras that we're doing it's part of the Tapo range. So we've got a spot camera, we've got a pan and tilt camera, and the one that you saw earlier was our outdoor camera. Right. So that one can do some pretty cool stuff like color night vision, just with some small little spotlights and some low light starlight technology, it's called, that helps it to achieve that. It can do all the motion tracking and detection and people detection and things like that. So there's quite a bit of AI built into these cameras that, you know, and it retails for $129. It's a It's really affordable as well.
Yeah, I find this space really interesting because we see, like, we've done, you know, traditional wired CCTV systems for years now, but I noticed some of the technology that's coming into these, you know, vendors like yourselves with IoT type smart products, you seem to capture some incredible functionality that you just don't really get in the, you know, traditional CCTV space, like some of the motion detection, event notifications and people counting and things that would be, you know, you'd think it would come through the professional channel first, but it's not. It's coming from, and the problem I have is like somebody might have in their, you know, whatever residence they're residing in currently, they might have one camera and they love the features and the functionality that it gives them. And they're like, we're renovating or we're building it and I want a full CCTV system. And you're like, well, this is what a full CCTV system is, but it misses some of those cool pieces of functionality that you get from just an off-the-shelf IoT product. And they're like, why can't it do this? And I'm like, well, you know, that sort of technology sort of resides over in the IoT space and it hasn't migrated into the professional space yet.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? It's a strange thing. Like we, with the cameras as well, you're getting some of the home cameras now are getting a few more of those CCTV type features. So we've got a lot of features built into if you have multiple cameras around the home where you can essentially look at it on your phone, but you could also use a Chromecast or something to look at that device, cast all your cameras to a big screen so you can kind of see what's going on, which is a bit more of that surveillance type thing.
Yeah.
We've also got Vigi cameras, which is another brand which works in with our Armada system and things like that. So we also do those kind of more hardcore surveillance type cameras. But the other thing with us having the networking protocol and heritage, we've used the we've actually got some technology built into the Tapo cameras so you can use those with NVRs and things like that if you like, rather than just kind of record to the cloud. Or you can also got the micro SD card option for local. So
awesome,
giving people a few different options.
So those cameras are hardwired, and then so hardwired power and then operate on Wi-Fi.
That's right. Nice. We've also got some battery ones coming in the next couple of months.
Okay,
Tapo
cool.
Range, indoor and outdoor.
Battery technology has definitely come a long way. We see some many sensors now that are battery powered. I'm sure cameras are different, but you know, sensors typically can last 5 years on battery power.
That's the big thing with a battery camera. It's you've got a lot of advantages, like with placement and things like that. Plus, you don't have to kind of drill holes through if you haven't kind of got that knowledge and don't want to be running cords through the roof and things like that. Battery cameras have a lot of advantages, but then they've also got some things where, you know, you don't want to be swapping the battery every month if it's getting a lot of notifications and things like that. Plus, the higher the quality that you're recording at, the more that uses up the battery as well. So yeah, we've worked on a lot of that kind of lithium technology to try and get as much as we can out of the battery. And we'll also do some options where we'll do kind of extra batteries and things like that. And people will get a notification through the app saying, you know, you've only got a couple of percent left, charge or swap the battery.
Yep.
So that they're not kind of in that crucial stage running out of battery without actually knowing about it if they haven't checked the cameras for a few days too.
Yeah.
Can you do any automations with the cameras? So that's
something I'm personally really excited to test, because I've got quite a bit of the Tapo kind of gear at home and enjoy playing around with it. But that's the next kind of logical step for us, is to get into that automation. So you can already do some things where if you've got a camera set up, because it all just works within the Tapo app. That's how you onboard everything and that's how you can control everything. Or you can use your choice of assistant once it's connected. But you can actually use the cameras at the moment so that you can do some rules in the app, so that if the camera sees you and it's a certain time of day or something like that, say that you're coming home kind of late at night, the camera sees you, that can trigger one of your lights to come on or something along those lines. But the next part of that is when we do bring out the windows and door sensors and the kind of spot sensors and things that works on that sub 1G technology. So it just uses one of the little circular, like I think it's a CR2032 battery. And that thing will last kind of close to a year in the device, maybe even longer once we kind of do some testing with that stuff. So
yeah, that stuff's going to be super exciting for our industry. I can't wait.
Yeah,
like every person to be able to sort of deploy a smart home or have some smart home functionality, you know, in any location. Because at the moment, there's kind of like a exclusivity barrier that comes in at certain price categories and things like that. But now it's obtainable for pretty much everyone.
And it's not it. Like, people will think, sometimes they'll think, oh, it's a little bit intimidating. I'm not sure if I can set up automation, even if they are, if they're quite good and technical, they think, oh, it could be a little bit tough. But in the app, it actually makes it really simple for you, where you're basically just selecting the product, selecting the action that happens, the time window that it happens in. And if you can get that all worked out, you've pretty much set your automation.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
With the introduction of Marta, have you guys, will we see any new products from TP-Link?
We're all kind of registered now with Marta. So we're on their kind of website. We're excited to see all of our logos for our products up there last week. Introduction of new products is more just kind of what's on the roadmap. So it's those higher end cameras and all of those kind of things. But they'll all, as we get the new products come out, they'll all be Marta certified, and which I think is great for the whole industry. Anything that simplifies and makes everything work together is good. It gives everyone a boost.
Yeah, so that's the bet for interoperability between vendors.
That's right. That's right. That's even happening on the networking side as well. There's a protocol called EasyMesh that a lot of the vendors are working on at the moment. So essentially with EasyMesh, you could even have different brands working together. So different networking brands that work on that same protocol. So
yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time. There's lots happening like that.
Yeah, I think the Matter thing's very interesting. They must be doing a pretty reasonable job in their marketing front as it is, because I've actually got clients saying, oh, I want to use Matter in my time. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's not necessarily the correct use of the term,
I get
that they're kind of making an impact where they think that all the things just come together, which is kind of what the goal is.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time you can aggregate your products as well. Like I'm prime example for it. I've got lots of different brands. I've got the Tapo and the other previous, the Casa brand of TP-Link, but I've also gone and bought lots of other kind of brands just for testing in the home and seeing how they all kind of work together. But
yeah.
I kind of use it all through my choice of assistant. I've kind of gone down that Google path. So that was, I try to integrate them all through the Google Home app. But there are some kind of advanced functions available through the Tapo app natively as well.
Yep. And then that you can do the IFTT type functionality for,
yeah,
if you want to get really deep into programming language.
You can dive into IFTTT. I tend to play around with that a little bit. I haven't I think there's some things that you can do that are really practical. Yep. The one that's probably the most practical for us that we've found is I've got a few of the smart lights around the home. So you can do one of the rules through IFTTT that if it's through the weather channel, if it's about to rain, I'll get all the lights in the house will just flash like light blue. And that will tell me to quickly get outside and, you know, take the washing off the line and things like that. So, yeah, you can find some practical uses for it.
In terms of, I mean, just into my, so I can entertain my own knowledge here.
Yeah.
With the Omada system, I'm kind of constantly searching for like the end game networking solution where I can bring everything together from one vendor and not have to worry, but pay too much attention about what else is going on.
Of course, yeah.
The Omada Cloud, is it that, so you have a hardware controller in the premise, does it use an actual cloud hosted server?
Cloud hosted server. Yeah, right. We use Amazon for all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can just on like get all of your devices and set them to be informed to a cloud based server, or you have to run in-house hardware?
The only thing that you need is your laptop or the phone app. You just have that cloud-based controller in there at the location, at the site. And from there, once you use either the Omada phone app or you can use your laptop to look at the interface there, but it gives you everything on a really clean kind of dashboard and tells you if there's kind of any areas you need to address and things like that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love these types of solutions because it gives you such transparency into what's happening on the network. Like once you have an integrated network solution, to think that you would do it manually is just crazy. Like having a single dashboard for everything is just incredible.
Yeah, and to be able to handle kind of multiple sites as well and have it so scalable and be able to use it in anything from a tiny business up to a kind of large hotel that needs lots of access points and, you know, wall plates in every room and things like that, it's really robust.
Yeah, and I saw there's some really awesome scheduling functionality where you can schedule device reboots, you can schedule PoE ports to be on certain times and off at certain times. Lots of pretty cool features that are built into there, just as a free charge service, or is it just included as part of the platform?
With the licensing, I'd have to check in. I wouldn't want to tell you the wrong thing on those, the costs and things. I believe it's free, but I'm not fully across that.
Throw a link up for that.
Yeah, cool. Excellent.
Yeah, and I think the Omada also will help with things like fault finding and that sort of stuff. I think that's quite helpful, especially for us techs on the road that really need to, you know, find the problem and fix it.
Yeah, it can kind of give you that notification, you know, quickly what to address, without having to visit the site, all that kind of downtime.
Yeah,
it's good for that.
It's for 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. There's nothing better.
The phone call, what's happening?
Exactly what you want, isn't it?
Lost all the internet.
Yeah, so you can just jump in and see if devices are online or offline, or if clients are connected or where they're connected or whatever else. So, yeah, very useful.
Yeah.
Very useful functionality. There's so many products in here.
Yeah, we're surrounded by them on the shelves. We've got quite a bit.
Yeah, we kind of get the product update come through every week, and it makes your head spin how many products we're releasing. And then we've also got we've got products that we just do for ISP as well, with custom firmware and things like that. So, you know, you get your head around that stuff, and then all the new smart home kind of things that are coming in. So, yeah, there's never a lack of things for us to learn about the products that are.
Yeah, so with that ISP stuff, so do you guys essentially load up the ISP's details on your router and then ship it out to the ISP and then they send it to their customers?
We've got that kind of option. We can also do the drop shipping thing with the ISPs. So, yeah, we're able to, and we're developing a lot of custom firmware for the new kind of things. So we've got some ISP guys that came on a little while ago that are kind of 20 years in the industry and a lot of experience with all that kind of thing. So they're pretty busy working on tenders with kind of Optus and Telstra and things like that. We do a lot with TPG. They're one of that whole kind of TPG group, so IINet and Internode as well. We do some devices for a lot of kind of ISPs. So, yeah, that's a really kind of solid part of our business as well.
Yeah, right. So is TP-Link here in Australia, do you have engineering and stuff here, or is it just like local-based technical for our local region?
So we've got an engineer downstairs. We've also got a local tech team, but a lot of that kind of research and development and design and products and things like that, that's all handled in Shenzhen, in China, in our factory.
And is that a pretty big engineering team over there?
It's very large. The other thing with TP-Link, and I should have touched on this earlier, is a lot of the other networking brands are kind of like, they're having it built in a factory. They're not doing their own manufacturing, whereas we fully have that in-house in the facility in Shenzhen. So it's a big kind of, all the research, development, manufacturing, quality control, and all that is all kept in-house, which is, it's really good for us to kind of, so we get less RMAs and things like that. That quality control is super, super important, especially for networking products, because when you mentioned before, no one likes it when their Wi-Fi drops out, and you like it to not be the products that are the problem. You want that to be the line that's the problem.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And talking about that, what's the warranty on like the SMB stuff or the consumer stuff?
So all of the SMB stuff is a 5-year warranty.
Yeah.
A 5-year warranty on the SMB, on all of the deco, the router products and the whole home Wi-Fi products. It's all a 3-year warranty across that. And on the smart home products, we offer a 2-year warranty on all the smart home products.
Which is pretty good. Normally it's like 1 year.
Generally on smart home, it's 1 year. Yeah. I've had some smart plugs working in my home for kind of like the really early, the big chunky Casa smart plugs that we first did, that I've had in the home for kind of 5 years, that get used daily as kind of turning the kettle on before I get out of bed or doing some preheating and things like that. So used all the time, but they just never miss a beat. They're very very reliable.
Yeah, I've actually got one of the earlier Casa ones doing a heater at my house.
So, excellent.
Yeah, I love using it. Scheduled as well, so it's already warm in the house, ready to go. So
one good use. Yeah, I love hearing the ways that different people use the smart plugs. A lot of the time, like with the home show and different shows we do, people come up to us with their phone out and excited to talk to us and show us that they've got 16 smart plugs in the house and controlling their fish tank lights and things like that. People love them. They're a pretty cool product.
Yeah, they are pretty flexible, and I think you guys have got a good platform to really, you know, tie it all in. And obviously with the introduction of Matter, and hopefully we can get a lot more products talking together as well, which I think will help the industry and make it all a better better place.
Yeah, definitely. And giving people that info, like I think with energy at the moment and a lot of talk in the media being around cost of living increases and energy prices and petrol and all things like that. So people are looking at ways to not only make their home smart, but you can use smart plugs in order to monitor your electricity and things like that. So, you know, for instance, if you've got a media room or you own a lot of consoles and PCs and things like that, you can always just kind of switch those off for the hours of the night that you're not using them. So it's not got that kind of vampire power that's the standby power. So you can save quite a bit over time by using these products effectively as well.
That actually brings up a good question. Do you have it? Does it tie in any energy monitoring? So yeah. can you see what devices are drawing?
We do. So on the smart plugs, there's the standard smart plug, which is the P100, and the P110 does everything the P100 does, but it also has the energy monitoring function. So you can look at that in real time on the app, and it's got some kind of handy graphs and things so that you can see when you might have saved power, when you've used more than the average and things like that. So yeah, it tells you quite a bit.
Yeah, awesome. Have we got them here?
Yeah, we do. I've got a couple of those for you guys to take away with you today and have a play around with. They're the Taco ones. So the reason they're smaller now is because the feedback that we got from the larger ones, as much as people love them, if they had a home that had the PowerPoints that were very close together, it might take out another one of the PowerPoints, which can be a bit of a frustration. So yeah, we've developed those, the slimline ones now, and yeah, they go great. We also do them in 2 and 4 packs, and it's one of those products that people won't often buy one smart plug. They might buy one the first time and test it, and then they're kind of back in to buy more and kind of use them in other areas of the house too.
Yeah, awesome. And yeah. Then do you have some of those smart functionality like bind together with the energy monitoring? So if there's, you know, whatever energy monitoring scenario, you can switch things on and off or whatever else? Like if there's
Like for an automation side of things, so if you hit a certain threshold, look, not at the moment. There's some kind of talk of that being kind of developed to work together, but at the moment it's more of just you'd kind of monitor it in the app and be able to do it
as you need.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, awesome. Thank you very much for your bringing us up to speed with all things TP-Link. It's awesome.
Yeah, no worries. I'm always happy to talk about this stuff. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. It's been good.
No problems. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for watching. And if you are liking our content, feel free to like and subscribe to keep up to date.
And follow us on social media @Home Tech Talk. Thanks for watching.
Thanks.